Again, please turn to Daniel chapter 7. We'll read verses 9 through 22. And we're going to study the title or the name of God, Ancient of Days. We're also going to turn back to Daniel chapter 2. And we're going to also look at Revelation chapter 1 and then a little bit after chapter 1. So you might want to mark Revelation chapter 1 as well. And again, we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 2 for a little bit to see some overlap with Daniel chapter 7. But our theme is the name Ancient of Days, three times used in Daniel chapter 7. The only place where it's actually used in Scripture, though, the idea of it is throughout, especially in the Revelation reflected. So hear now the word of God, Daniel chapter 7, 9 through 22. And again, verses 9, 13, and 22 are the emphasis with the name Ancient of Days. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. In his book, Tender Warrior, Stu Weber shares about his dad who would always, when he prayed aloud, his father would always thank God for so great a salvation. And the other thing that he would regularly pray out loud about was he would thank God for God's glorious plan of the ages, God's glorious plan of the ages. And Stu Weber says this, when he was a child hearing this, now I didn't have an inkling what the plan of the ages was all about, but I didn't doubt that there was one, that it came from the heart of God, and that it was glorious. It made me stand on my tiptoes to peer a little farther and deeper into spiritual mysteries. It brought security to my heart to realize what kind of God I had. This great heavenly planner who could look down the long ages and bring things to pass. Beloved, may we so respond to God's name and God's title, Ancient of Days, as he reveals from ages past his ancient plan for now into the future, namely your future, your eternal future in Christ. Here's the plan from our text. God, the Ancient of Days, will give judgment and an everlasting kingdom to the saints on the last day. Let me say that again. God, who is the Ancient of Days, will give judgment and an everlasting kingdom to the saints on the last day. Let's think about this name or title, Ancient of Days, for God. The Hebrew word for ancient is the idea of elderly, someone who's very advanced in age, but something like an elder of the scriptures often, that is dignified, wise, like a judge with authority and power. And that's exactly the Ancient of Days, who he is in this text. That's exactly what he's doing. He's judging. Look at verses 9 and 10. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. We won't go into the details, but it's interesting when we were studying Thomas Boston's Human Nature in its Fourfold State, it brought us to the idea of Judgment Day, and it talked about four books that are opened. I'll leave that with you to consider going and studying. But the books will be opened. The judge will be there, the Ancient of Days, on the last day, and he will make a judgment on everyone. He will have his last great day to conquer the kingdoms of this world and judge them from his throne. And he will establish his eternal kingdom. Nothing else will be left standing. There will be no other kings. The King of Kings will reign supreme, and no one will fight or deny him any longer. All these menacing world kingdoms, and that's what's in the context also in chapter 2, these menacing world kingdoms fighting against God and his anointed, Psalm 2. All these menacing world kingdoms and their kings will be destroyed. And actually, they already have been. What Daniel's talking about here has already happened in human history. Recognize that Daniel is in exile in Babylon when he's dreaming about the process that is begun. Look at verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. He's in Babylon, which is the first of these four world kingdoms that God is going to have rise and fall, and then Christ comes at the end of the fourth kingdom, and now he's advancing his kingdom throughout the world. All these kingdoms before him try to do it, and they can't, though they're really impressive, especially if you read about the Persians in the scriptures. They're enormous, but they're nothing like the worldwide domination that Christ will have. Daniel has already interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the same matter earlier in chapter 2. Now Daniel's having his own dream under a new king of Babylon, but it's the same thing with different imagery. It's kind of a confirmation to Daniel as he's waiting that all these things are true. Both those dreams, Nebuchadnezzar's in chapter 2 and his dream now, represent four enormous world powers that are rising and falling until the first coming of Jesus Christ to begin the advancement of his eternal kingdom, which he says in Matthew 16, verse 18, it is advancing and the kingdoms of hell cannot advance against her. The beginning of the end of all these powers began with the mighty Babylonian power at that time. Daniel is speaking to these mighty Babylonian rulers saying, you're the beginning of the end of all these world powers. You're the first of these four kingdoms that will be destroyed. And then Christ's kingdom comes. And we see that if you turn back to chapter 2 with me, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. But there is a God in heaven. So the king has asked Daniel to tell him the dream and then interpret the dream. And he says, I can't do it, but there's a God in heaven who does it. It's the same Ancient of Days. He says, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. Before I go on, the latter days, Hebrews chapter 1 says we're in these latter days, the last days, because Christ, the Son of God, we'll see in the text, has come. Verse 29, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. God in heaven is the one who will reveal these things about the last days. Now we get a little more specific about what we're talking about. Look at verses 36 through 43 of the text, chapter 2 of Daniel. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall be rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So he tells the king of Babylon, you're the first. Babylon is the first kingdom. And then it goes down. This is how we interpret. The scripture here interprets itself. Babylon is the first kingdom, and then it will go away. And then it will be taken up by another kingdom. And then that will go down, and then there'll be another kingdom that will go down, and then another. And after that, the King of Kings comes, and he begins his developing of his kingdom throughout the world, and it'll never, ever end. So we know from the text here in chapter 2 that the first kingdom is Babylon. I'm not getting into all the details of these two dreams, but they're both representing the same idea. These four major world powers, menacing world powers against the saints. Each one comes and goes, as impressive as it is, it ends up not lasting, in contrast to the kingdom of Christ that will come at the end of the four. So Babylon's the first, then what's next? The Medes and Persians. That's what you see through the scriptures. And then what's next? The Grecians, the Greece, Alexander the Great. And then what's next after that? The Roman Empire. And when does Jesus Christ come? The Roman Empire. All of those kingdoms have taken over Israel. It's never the same. It's never really its own sovereign kingdom. And then the King of Kings comes, the sovereign God of the universe, the Son of God, the Son of Man comes. And in the demise of the Roman Empire, he begins his eternal kingdom. And in fact, is part of the bringing down of the eternal kingdom. Their sins, of course, but also his rising up. God's Messiah comes at the end of this in the Roman Empire, and he begins the breakdown of Rome, and he begins his worldwide kingdom that will last forever. And that's the difference compared to these other really impressive kingdoms for a time, but they don't last. And in terms of human history, they don't last very long, actually, though they intend to. But when Christ's kingdom comes, it will last forever. And so we see that also in verses 44 through 45 of chapter 2. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And in fact, it happened. It's already happened. This has happened. And now Christ's kingdom is advancing after all those major powers have been faced their demise. Now let's go back to chapter 7 to see the same idea being communicated with Daniel's dream that's being interpreted. A different image, but the same idea. Just as in the Revelation, there are seven different tellings of the same story with different images, different focusing in and out. So the same idea in Daniel 7 with his dream, verses 13 to 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. And you know that's Jesus Christ. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And that's the big contrast and distinction between those four world powers setting up the time for when Christ come, his kingdom will never be destroyed. So you see the Son of Man and his work with the Ancient of Days. Think about that imagery of the Ancient of Days. Now keep this marked, but turn with me now to Revelation chapter 1. And this is a bit of the forest with some of the trees. We're kind of doing a flyover looking at these main ideas and bringing them together. But we want to see how this Ancient of Days is the imagery of Jesus Christ in the Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now we know this is from verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's about him, and it is from him in the earlier verses. So he's speaking about himself, Jesus, here. He's the one who was, and is to come. Look at verse 8. Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now look with me to verses 12 through 19, and especially see there the imagery of the Ancient of Days that you read in Daniel 7. Verses 12 through 19 of chapter 1 of the Revelation. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now that is what is spoken of in the Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man. And this is Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Very similar to Daniel chapter 7. He is that Son of Man who has come. He has now ascended on high which Daniel has that idea. He's gone up to God, having done his work in the first coming, and he wants his church to similarly be comforted that he's coming back, and the reality is he has the victory over all these worlds, all over all these empires that are really, frankly, nothing in comparison to the four empires that are gone, referred to in Daniel 7. Look and notice that imagery, that it's the same. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the eternal God. He is the Ancient of Days. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The resurrected Jesus gave John here a similar scene of the last days that began with his first coming and end with his second coming. It's begun after those four empires, the Roman one being the last. It's begun when Christ came at the end there. His kingdom again will continue, and it'll reign forever. It'll never be put out. We want to think about the main theme of the Revelation, very related, very much overlapping with Daniel. As with many of the prophets, Daniel is being brought through in the Revelation to remind these and encourage these Christians that would know their Old Testament scriptures that it's the same message, hold fast and overcome. Look with me to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. Here is the same idea with this Ancient of Days, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to say the Ancient of Days is the Father, Christ, of course, being also the eternal God, the mediator having come down, fulfilling this work of Daniel 7. Revelation 11, verse 15, it's the same idea that we're learning of the Ancient of Days. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And aren't you struggling with, like me, to not want to break out in Handel's Messiah? The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the most of the song is just repeating that, right? It's this crescendo of he shall reign forever. All the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, the Ancient of Days, who prophesied it in Daniel 7 and Daniel 2 and already fulfilled it with those four kingdoms. Christ having come, and he's now advancing his kingdom, and it won't stop until he comes back to finish the job, consummate the kingdom, and reign forever and ever. This is why you're here tonight, Christian. This is why we're waiting. This is why we deny ourselves the world and its pleasures, because it won't last. But the eternal kingdom of God will last forever, the Ancient of Days and his Christ. Another important scripture of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 14. Again, I think particularly you could say the theme verse of the Revelation. Now remember, this is written to Christians who are being persecuted, chapter 1, verse 8. They are brothers in the kingdom. So the kingdom's come. They're brothers in the tribulation. They're under tribulation for being in the kingdom of Christ and in patience. So they're going through a difficult time, and they need to be reminded, just like Daniel did in exile, God's got it covered. He's totally in charge of all of this, and he wins, and thus you're winning. Chapter 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So you see, he, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, has victory. The world is making war against him and his saints. That's just like Revelation 12, where we see Satan is there trying to devour the Christ child. And then the Christ child ascends into heaven. He can't be devoured or defeated. And so Satan is now trying to devour his children, the church, and they can't be destroyed either. There'll be great difficulty and persecution, but he can't kill Christ, and he can't kill his church. Christ has the victory. Christ has the victory. And so do you. This is the message they needed and we needed, because the church is always struggling. The church always goes through persecution. Christ says, blessed are you if you are persecuted for me and my name's sake and my righteousness' sake. We need to be reminded that we win, that Christ is winning. He has won and we win. You do not want to deny Christ. You do not want to turn from the faith and apostasy, because only Christ and his kingdom lasts. Everything else is on the way out. Every other kingdom, every other people group that is not of Christ is on its way out into the pit of hell forever in destruction. Only Christ's kingdom will reign on earth. He is mediatorial king, as well as prophet and priest. Romans 15, verse 12 puts it this way. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse. Now that's another prophecy from Genesis. There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. That's all the other kingdoms of the world. Let me say again. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Thankfully, he has sheep not of the fold, only of the Jews, and he brings those from every kingdom he subdues and brings us into salvation as willing subjects. Psalm 110 of our King, a willing people in thy day. Thankfully, he brings Gentiles from every nation, that's us, into this kingdom as it is advancing. You see, it doesn't matter what country, what people group around the world, what tongue they speak, Christ's kingdom advances in and brings people into it before the end. Jesus says that he has been given the right to judge at the second coming by his Father, John 5:22. And Jesus says that his people will judge with him at his right hand after being separated from the goats. Look at Matthew 25 and look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. You, beloved, will judge fallen angels and fallen men who do not bow the knee and confess with the tongue now that Jesus Christ is Lord. You will be with Jesus then, judging them as they then do because they have to, and then they are sent to hell. And as he then says to you, come into my Father's kingdom, prepared for you. Come and enjoy. So what is the effect for you, the saints? That's the blessing and encouragement for you now. That's why it's given for you. Certainly God gets the glory as the Ancient of Days, but what's the benefit for you? You, the saints. Well, let's go back to Daniel chapter 7 and take a look. Why is it so important to know this name, Ancient of Days, and its context and what it is teaching and sharing with us about God and about Christ in the Revelation, sharing and reflecting this imagery of the Ancient of Days and being the Son of Man working with the Ancient of Days? Why is it so important? Well, look at verse 18, first of all, of Daniel chapter 7. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. You will take the kingdom away from this world. You will take away from all the kingdoms this world, and you will reign in it forever and ever, even forever and ever. It's like the superfluous. Seriously, forever and ever. You will take the kingdom and you will reign. Notice again, you're called saints. What does Paul call you throughout the letters to the churches? Saints. Again, not because of what you do, but because of who you are in Christ, the Holy One, and have the Holy Spirit in you. Saints, the called out ones, the holy ones, you get the victory. You shall have the kingdom in the end. You see why it's worth waiting for and waiting upon the Ancient of Days and of his Christ. Look at verses 21 to 22. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Ah, it's not the end of the story. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Notice there again, the saints will judge with Jesus Christ, who is the judge. When the Ancient of Days comes, the kingdoms who make war and persecute you, they will be finally taken out. And you'll judge them, and you'll take over. You want to know this because you are being persecuted. The world is making war with you. As we were having fellowship today, some of us were discussing some interesting entertainment that's come out, and it's amazing how much they're reflecting scriptural ideas, but they're turning it around and showing, again, the kingdoms of this world are against Christ. But Christ will have the victory. And if they make war with Christ, they will make war with you, Jesus says. The world hates me, so the world will hate you, because I'm not of this world and you're in it, but you're not of it. The world making war with you ultimately will not prevail. Look at verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hallelujah. Notice that the world empires make war with the saints, but the saints are the ones who prevail in the end. And this is the same imagery and language of Daniel chapter 2 and of the book of the Revelation. God's people will be persecuted. That, again, is something that the church is not being told much today, so we run from it. God's people will be persecuted by this world. If you aren't being persecuted, that may reflect the degree of how much you need to grow in Christ. God's people will be persecuted, but God's people will prevail. God's people will prevail. That's another thing about the book of Revelation. It's not about the Antichrist. It's about Christ. It's not about the kingdoms of this world. It's about Christ's kingdom and the victory he already has. And he's already giving and advancing to his people. It's why you're called now more than conquerors. It's why you have the victory already over this world. Remember, why do they sing Alleluia four times in chapter 19 of Revelation? There where we see also Jesus Christ coming on his white horse. First coming on a donkey offering peace to whoever will bow the knee to the king and have peace. But as he comes back on the white horse, he's not looking for peace anymore other than to destroy the wars against him and establish peace in this world for his people. He's coming on the white horse, conquering and to conquer. But why are they singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah? That is, praise ye the Lord. Also, because as we have this vision of Christ in Revelation 19, we have Revelation 18 already shared with us. Babylon is fallen. The world empire against Christ is fallen. False religion, worldwide governments, and the wicked ways of this world is fallen. And that's why you want to come out of Babylon, which is the message there too, and be in the church, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, because Christ and his kingdom will not fall, it will not fail, it will endure forever. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 might sum this up. If we suffer, we also shall reign with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. You see, remember, just as Christ first took a cross and then got a crown, so you have your cross, and then you'll have your crowns to cast as his feet. As you sang in Psalm 9, verses 7 through 9 this evening, O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in righteousness. Or as we often sing in Psalm 45, verse 6, very much a messianic psalm of the Son of Man. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Or as you sang this evening in Psalm 93, verse 2, thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Or as we often sing in Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Let's remember that many of these kings would often want, just like Pharaoh, this idea of some kind of a feigned deity about them. They're not God. God, from everlasting to everlasting, alone is God. And he, the Ancient of Days, alone will have a kingdom throughout the world that will never be taken away. And it's in Christ. The revelation that we've been looking at tonight begins with a reflection of the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7. And they're both teaching us what? The world's days are numbered. Just as we know the number of Satan, that's just an idea of incomplete. That's the idea of his number. It's incomplete. It won't last. The world's days are numbered. Jesus Christ has won. He is advancing his kingdom, and he wins. And thus, in him, you have won. And you are winning, and you win. You are on the winning side. You are on the side of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days. So there is the plan. May you and I stand on our tiptoes and peer a little farther and deeper into it tonight, into these spiritual mysteries. And may we similarly also be encouraged by this great heavenly planner and his ancient plan of the ages. Herbert Lockyer points out to us that Daniel uses this name in a relatively short amount of scripture verses. Ancient of Days, he uses it three times to express the importance of thinking about it. It is important to think about the name Ancient of Days. Hopefully we've been able to get a sense of why tonight. So, beloved, spend time thinking about the Ancient of Days. Pray and rejoice in the Ancient of Days. Think regularly about what you've learned about God's name or title, the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man, how much it reflects in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Think about all that and what it means for you, saints, because you are secure in the Savior. That's the message for you this evening. We often feel so insecure. What's happening in this world? What's happening to the church? Where is this all headed? God has reminded you he's got it under control. He has the victory. You win in him. There is no danger. Whatever happens, there is no danger ultimately for you saints. You are secure in your Savior because he is the Ancient of Days. You are secure in your Savior. Let us pray. O Ancient of Days, Son of Man, Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, let us be secure. Let us be more secure and strong, of greater faith and of less fear, because you, the Ancient of Days, are going to judge, and you have already judged kingdoms. Christ has come. This prophecy has largely been fulfilled. Yet that prophecy given to us throughout the scriptures of Christ's second coming and the finality of all these things and the final eternal reign is yet to come, and yet it is coming. You come, and we say with the Spirit, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Thank you for bringing us this anchor for our souls, this security in you, our Savior. We have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to be afraid about, come what may. Whatever our adversary might send against us, whatever kingdoms might rise and fall around us, they will not last. We do not need to put our hope, and we must not put our hope in any earthly kingdom or any earthly king. We must put our hope and call our kings and our kingdoms to put their hope in Christ, as Psalm 2 says to the kings, don't laugh at Jesus. Don't laugh at God's anointed one. Kiss him, lest he be angry with you and you perish in the way, but blessed are all they that trust in him. Oh Lord, thank you for blessing us, your people, your saints, to trust in you. Thank you for making us your holy ones. We recognize it as all your sovereign grace and power. We glorify you as our mediatorial prophet, priest, and king. We take joy in who you are as the Ancient of Days. This is the same message of old as it is at the end of the Revelation. We see it having worked out in history, being worked out in history. It is your story. And as we learned at the end of the study with Revelation with Dr. Sproul this morning in the video, from dust to glory. That is the story. That is the story for you and your saints in you from all over the world, from beginning to end. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. We praise you, O Ancient of Days, you who are ancient and glorious and dignified and the judge of all the world, and you give that judgment to your Son and even to we, your saints. How incredible to consider. We cannot take it in fully, O Lord, but let us take it in best we can, and let it lift up our spirits and send us out into this dark and dangerous world this week with caution, but also anticipation and courage as we go conquering and to conquer in the Spirit. Most importantly, conquering ourselves more and more as we pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all your people said, Amen.